pastor Sunday, I was kind of running through my head everything that he had going on this week, and I said, if you need somebody on Wednesday night, I'll do it. And he assured me that he had said that he was going to finish or get started on the book of Isaiah unless the rapture occurred on Wednesday. And since he had said that, he was going to be here and he was going to do that. But then things changed and he called me up and said, are you still able? And I said, yes. Now, I had been working on something Sunday morning in my head. And so I was kind of comfortable. I'm usually not comfortable with being asked to speak. I was kind of comfortable because I kind of had something I was working on. And I thought, yeah, I'll just go ahead. Well, I started working on thinking about what I'd been working on. I was like, this is more than I could do. I mean, I usually have trouble with having content to fill an evening, but I was like, this is more, this is like a three-part thing that I would be starting and not be able to finish, so I'm not going to be able to proceed with this. So I woke up this morning early and started praying and thinking and reading the word, and hopefully this will be a blessing to somebody, and I won't come off as a rambling idiot like I probably usually am. So anyhow, my wife's shaking her head no, but I disagree. I'm my own worst critic. I am extremely hard on myself. And I think most of the times when I speak, I come off as a pretty harsh person. And I'm not that way at all. That's just the way, I guess, I deal with myself that way. And I just turn it loose on everybody else. So anyhow, if you turn in your Bible to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Hebrews 2:9. I gave this the title of, But We See Jesus. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, which happens to start out with the words, But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Our Father, we do thank you again for this opportunity. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would definitely help as we look into your word. And Lord, just help things to go as they were in my brain. And trust, Lord, that you put things in there that'll be helpful to someone. And we just ask your blessing now in Christ's name. Amen. So I've got 3 points. I was very pleased with myself because I usually don't come out with nice outlines with points. And I have got 3 points. So point number one is we see Jesus by the grace of God. We're going to look at John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. We, or at least I, tend to think that we, or I, through our great intellect, well, that's a joke for me, one day, whilst walking along the Romans road, put all the pieces together. We saw our need for a Savior. Maybe you were spending your days from birth until you were saved, sitting on the edge of your seat, anxious to place your faith in Christ. But I heard the message of salvation over and over. But my feet were set on the faulty foundation of an imaginary set of scales, with my good works on the one side and my bad deeds on the other side. In the Methodist Church, I was told that God was always watching us and we had to be good. We had to be good. You gave you the idea that your good works outweighing your bad works was what you needed. So just be good. God's watching. And so I grew up with that point of view. But when I saw that it was God's righteous standard on the other side of the balance instead of my bad deeds, I said, okay, Lord, later. And by later, I mean I waited a few years to trust Christ. I can't even tell you how long. He was gracious and merciful and long-suffering, waiting for me. Only by the grace of God did he draw me to him before later was too late. I liked to ride. My brother had a street bike, and I liked to ride his bike. And being the typical 17, 18-year-old kid, I did a lot of things on that bike that could have ended very badly, easily could have ended very badly. A lot of close calls and just foolishness. But I'm still here today. Praise the Lord, I am still here today, and I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. So I see here a bit of a conundrum. We can't get to God without Christ, and we can't get to Christ without God the Father. And there's nothing of ourselves involved in salvation. It is a work of God in us. But with God, all things are possible. He draws us, and we go to Christ. And it's just a beautiful thing. But we're not going to get there on our own. Point number two, we see Jesus by faith. John 6:36. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. So this is kind of along the same line as the first point. You know, the Jews looked right at their Messiah and did not see him. Their ears could not receive his message. They expected him to manifest himself to them in a completely different way than the cross and by faith. Men struggle with the idea of salvation by grace through faith because it eliminates all of man's self-efforts and rests their salvation on trusting Christ with every aspect of it from start to finish. I've got a lot of friends who are adamant Church of Christ people, and they believe you're saved through the waters of baptism and faith comes later. And if you're trusting in the waters of the baptism, you're not going to get very far. It's the blood of Christ and faith that gets us there. So number three, see, I'm moving right along. Boom, boom, boom. We see Christ through the Word of God. There's a lot of verses I'm just going to read. No commentary, or at least yep, I may have a little bit of commentary, but I just got down these verses. John 6:45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life. John 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And finally, 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. 3 points. But that was my introduction. I thought I was working on 3 points for my message, but that was just my introduction. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. Hopefully, most of you stayed there in Hebrews. It would have been a good thing to do. But Hebrews 2, 10 through 12. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. This is a little aside. Do y'all know why the preacher mentions something briefly during his message and then says, we don't have time to go into all that right now? I figured it out when I was doing this morning. It's because of all the groundwork that he would have to lay, and the passages he would have to read, and then he would have to put it all together in a way that you could see it clearly. The Word of God is so knit together that practically all things are intricately weaved together. I'm realizing this more and more as I study and try to prepare messages. So that wasn't what I was going to talk about tonight, that first part. I was just laying the groundwork to get over here to part number two. So here's part two. This is what I wanted to get to, but part long came along while I was working on this. And I was like, boy, we don't want to be here all night, all right? We don't want to be here all night, do we? Okay, just checking. So I will try to take us where we're going as surgically concise as I know how. But you should know by now that I'm pretty short on the know-how. Hebrews 2:10 says, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Our perfection comes through our sufferings. Or we could say it this way, our refining comes through the fires we pass through. But if you look closer at the verse, it is not talking about us. It's talking about the captain of our sufferings. Who is that? Jesus. Our Lord Jesus Christ. It's talking about his sufferings and his being made perfect. So he's perfecting perfection through Christ's sufferings. Isaiah 53:10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. So since y'all are listening to me, and instead of pastor going through the book of Isaiah, I thought I had to include something out of Isaiah just to keep it fresh for his return. So, and it fit. So it pleased God the Father to bruise his son for our sakes. And as I said, but God was perfecting the perfect one. I cannot wrap my head around most of these things, but it doesn't negate what the Bible says. In verse 11, it says, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. That's us believers. Unity in Christ. That's something else pastor has been talking about, I think. Anybody heard anything about unity around here lately? Yeah. One with Christ, who is one with the Father. Now, if we're able to comprehend these truths, I tell you, my mind couldn't handle it. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So, hold on here. The message that I wanted to bring tonight was about loving God and loving one another as part of the church. Verse 12 says, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And I don't really have time to talk about the church and what I saw going through my concordance, just looking up that word church. But the church is what Jesus is all about. The Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for the church. And in it, we serve together to bring glory to our Savior through the unity that only comes about by love. A church without love is just a disaster waiting to happen. Service for God without love for him is just trudging through what we perceive to be our duties and responsibilities. And also, optionally based on our whims and feelings. So let's go back to Hebrews 2:9. It says, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. By the grace of God, Christ should taste death for every man. I tell you, that is deep. And I also say, a good preacher should unpack all of this at some time and point for us, because I can't even begin to wrap my head around that it was the grace of God for Jesus to taste death for me. That's what it says. And Hebrews chapter 3 goes on to tell us to not let our hearts get hardened and to exhort one another. So there are my thoughts in their simplest form. Love and exhort your fellow churchies, church members. We all need it. I've always said, maybe not from the pulpit, but in talking with people, that love is the one thing that we humans are really not very good at. We need the love of God. And we need the love of God between each other. And to have that, we have to have divine help, because we're just not good at it. I'm not good at it. But our pride says, yeah, I got this. But that's a whole nother message. I was thinking, I didn't include it in this. I was thinking before I sat down and started putting this all together, I was going to come in and I was going to ask you guys, what kind of church do you want to have? Because love's hard. Love is hard. I don't like the way Brad's looking at me right now. Just kidding. Love is hard. We need help. We need to put the Lord Jesus Christ right in the middle of it all. Seek Him first, before we seek to put our hands around each other's throats. Amen. So that's what I got for you tonight. Just a little message. Love one another. And encourage one another. Another word I was looking for. It's somewhere in my notes here. It's in the Word of God too, if you want to read that sometime. But I really think as we get closer to the end, you know, the Bible asks the question, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? You know how that goes through my mind so often as I go through my days. I think, and when I see the condition of the world, when you see the condition of a lot of the churches, you're like, are we going to make it? Are we going to make it? Only through Christ. Stay close. Look into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for allowing us to be here together tonight. And we do pray, Lord, for this church. And Lord, I didn't bring this knowing anything, any divisions or any problems that are going on. I just know our human nature. I just know the difficulty that I have with both loving and with serving. Just pray, Lord, you would strengthen us. You would unite us. You'd be with our pastor as he travels back. God, we thank you for him. Thank you for bringing him here. Thank you for bringing Brother Mark. Thank you for everyone that's sitting in the pews here tonight and on Sundays. Thank you for the visitors we have coming in. Heavenly Father, just thank you that you gave us your word. You gave us the gospel, the clear salvation message. the death, the burial, the rap, the the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and grace through faith for all who believe. Just ask, Lord, you dismiss us, Lord, with your blessing, and keep us safe as we travel on and throughout the rest of this week. Bless us, be back Sunday morning. In Christ's name, amen.